back and they score! And Giroux's got it! He's a punch it by Antti Niemi!
It's time for the 5-Minute Major Podcast.
What is the significance of that name?
Tiger score!
Now here's your hosts, Matt Mastrogiovanni and Dave Morris.
That's what the people came to see.
A 5-Minute Major Podcast. What took you so long to finally seal the deal, my man? Let's go.
Hey guys, how's it going? Welcome to another episode of 5-Minute Major Radio. Dave here, as always, with my broadcast partner in crime, Matt Mastrogiovanni. Matt, how's it going this evening?
It's going very well, based off of the Flyers' performance so far, which we will dive into here in just a short little while. But other than that, can't complain too much. We got a beautiful day today. Start off with a little weather forecast here. We had a high of like 77 and abundant sunshine here outside of Philadelphia. So beautiful day weather-wise. And probably the last one before we go into our dreary fall/winter season here.
Well, I know this weekend, if we're sticking on weather, it's supposed to be like a high for tomorrow is like 64 and sunny, and then Saturday is like 60 and sunny.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all for the weather getting colder because that's obviously football weather, hockey weather. I'm not big into the MLB playoffs, but they're in the playoffs now. I think in the ALCS and the NLCS, which is cool.
Mm-hmm.
But
bonfire weather.
Yeah.
Big fan of that.
Oh, yeah. So
doing that this weekend.
Hell yeah. I'm going hunting this weekend, so maybe I'll come back with some deer, but who knows.
We're doing a thing with my in-laws that they do every year. Normally, we'll go up to a farm in Newtown to do like a haunted hayride, but we rent out like our own little private area where we get a huge bonfire where literally their firewood is old pallets of wood they just throw on top of each other. It's like
there you
a
go.
Massive, but that farm's not doing the hayride this year. Or they're not doing anything like that because of COVID. So we're going to a different farm in Warminster that kind of does a hayride, but it's not haunted. But you can still like rent out a plot of land and, you know, have your big bonfire and have like burgers and hot dogs and apple cider, et cetera. Fall things.
Definitely. Speaking of fall, the Flyers have only fell once this season so far in their first three games. They are 2-0-1. They lost their season/home opener on Friday, the 15th, last week, against the Vancouver Canucks. Absolutely just manhandled the Seattle Kraken in their first trip to Philadelphia, 6-1 on Monday. And then just last night, a statement win, an early statement win, I would say. Nothing to get too overreactionary about, but is a very good sign so far out of the gate. The Flyers take down the Boston Bruins 6-3 on TNT. That was a good broadcast there last night. But Dave, we actually were both at one of the first two games here, and we both watched last night's game. You were on behind the Twitter sphere on the keys for tweeting on the podcast.
You mean I thought the podcast turned into Ultron and became sentient?
Yeah, I mean when you tweeted me from the podcast, I was like, all right, let's dial it back here. But no, it's all good. I thought it was funny.
I was trying to get some interaction on the pod's Twitter. So
I got you.
Like, did you see the one? I don't mean to interrupt you here, but we'll go on a little side tangent here. First off, props for that segue. That segue was A+ this evening for the
hell
fall.
Yeah.
But also, I saw Mikey D from Orange and Black Pack, friend of the pod, tweeted "Welp" when Boston tied the game up.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize this, but he spelled it differently than what Charlie O'Connor normally does.
Uh-huh.
So I replied to him from the pods page saying, does Charlie O'Connor collect royalties for this? And then Charlie responded back saying he spelled it differently. So no, he avoids all legal fees. I thought that got some interaction. I think we might have gained a follower or two off of last night's shenaniganery on my part from the podcast page. But
hey man,
gotta try and live it up a little bit, you know.
I was gonna say you gotta be active in the Twitter sphere, and God knows Flyers Twitter is active during these games, and when there aren't even games, Flyers Twitter is active,
exactly.
for better or for worse, as we've come to know these past few years on Flyers Twitter. But Dave, like I said, you were in attendance for the Flyers home/season opener on Friday against the Vancouver Canucks. Sadly, the Flyers did fall 5-4 in a shootout, but they did make it interesting. After coming back from being down 3-1, I actually did not watch the game. I'm a terrible fan.
Yeah, they were actually down 4-1.
Oh, but I'll let you take the reins on this one, and then I'll take the reins on the Seattle game because I was in attendance for that. So if you want to give us the rundown for their season slash home opener, like I said, the reins are all yours, sir.
Yeah, no, the home opener last Friday evening, 1 week ago from tomorrow, it was a surreal, it was an electric experience. The Wells Fargo Center was rocking and buzzing. If it wasn't a sellout, it probably was very, very close to being. It's the fullest the Wells Fargo Center had been since before COVID. And it was an awesome atmosphere. I unknowingly, the tickets I bought were actually in the same section and a one row up and on the opposite end of the section as my old season ticket seats. Did that completely by coincidence. a lot of friends were there. Friends of the pod, Joshua Barber and Jake Rosing were there. But also my little sister, Nicole, and one of her friends, they were actually the next section in a row down from us. Like I could like throw food at them if I wanted to. Couple of other good friends, Jason Coley, our Avalanche friend of the pod, was there with his girlfriend, Hans. A lot of people that we know were there. So it was nice to kind of see, like, oh, like, nature is healing. People are going to Flyers games again.
Did you say who you went with? I'm going to save you a trip to the doghouse here for mentioning your wife.
My wife and I went to the Flyers game.
There you go. I'll save you a trip to the doghouse there.
I do have one gripe to bug right now is the resale value market, like on SeatGeek and StubHub this year, is horrendous. We waited until about like 4:30 in the afternoon to buy our tickets, and we still paid almost face value. But really? I found out some reasons as per why that's happening. And apparently it's because StubHub and SeatGeek have doubled their fees. And so if you're a reseller, like a season ticket holder, you're only getting, like, in the years past, you would have gotten, let's say you're selling your tickets for $100 total. Years past, you would have gotten $80 back. Well, wow. Now this year, apparently you're only getting $60 back.
Really?
So ticket holders and resellers are hesitant to lower the price of their tickets because they don't want to lose too much money.
I gotcha.
But what resellers need to know is that you're on the resale market. No one's going to pay face value. So that's why there was a certain member of Flyers Media that we have already addressed in this podcast, whose brand seems to be talking about Flyers attendance. And they were questioning the attendance of the Seattle Kraken game on Monday evening. And I'm going off on my bar stool here.
Soapbox.
Thank you. That's what soapbox. I was looking for, not bar stool. Yeah, soapbox here. Then you could see empty rows. I'm thinking, well, yeah, like, those are probably season ticket seats for a Monday night game that no one could make it to, and they couldn't resell their tickets because they're asking for too much. But anyway, I digress. I guess the guy has to stick to his brand all the time, and it's kind of annoying. But I guess the more I bring it up, the more credibility I give it to him, I guess. Yeah, so,
I mean, everyone's got their shtick somehow.
I know we have our shtick, so.
Exactly.
But it works. I guess that's at the end of the day, that's what matters. but whatever, I digress on that matter. But anyway, no one was talking about attendance Friday evening because it was buzzing, it was electric, it was awesome. I mean, for once, we had a home slash season opener in Philadelphia on a Friday night. I know people. I actually know people who took the day off from work or took a half day from work, went down and tailgated early because it was a gorgeous day weather-wise. But it was awesome. And the Flyers, great pre-opening ceremony. Not as uppity as they've had it in the past. I don't know if uppity is the right word to use, or electric. It was a very kind of a more calm season opener, like montage.
All
right. Gritty didn't really do anything crazy. They have this big bass drum now, which is very minor hockey league-esque, if you ask me. But it was.
I think they're trying a little bit too hard with these pregame things. I mean, it's very hard to follow up what Vegas does.
Agreed, apparently, too.
It's very hard to follow up what Vegas does at T-Mobile Arena.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, but other teams can try all they want, but there's no beating Las Vegas in that aspect, I think. I mean, it's the entertainment capital of the world.
City of Lights for a reason, right?
Yeah. I mean, I saw the drum the other night, and I was like, this is pretty cheesy.
Well, what's kind of cool about the drum, at least of the home openers, they had Scott Hartnell banging it, which I guess was kind of nice.
Yeah.
But, Lauren Hart came out as always. We got to hear the Star Spangled Banner in Ode Canada. Lauren killed it as always. We love you, Lauren. Shouts the guy from drunkenly from section 225. But no, the Flyers came out in the first period in that home opener, scored a goal from Joel Farabee. Young Beezer getting in the mix like he's been doing this season. We'll have touch more on him later in the podcast. Oh, but yeah, they came out in that first period, guns a-blazing, and they were impressive. I mean, I was very, very impressive for that first period. And then I don't know what happened during the intermission, because they came out for the second period, and they looked like the team from last year. It was ugly. They go down 4-1 early. Of course, Canucks top prospect Vasily Podkolzin scores his first career NHL goal to tie up the game. Elias Pettersson scores, and Alex Chiasson scores. And the Pettersson and Chiasson goal, and JT Miller, who actually scored the Canucks' fourth goal, after Cam Atkinson scored to make it a one-goal game at 3-2. They were kind of – Carter Hart looked like the Carter Hart from last year in the second period, yeah, and as did the team. But, you know, getting Cam Atkinson on the board was huge, and he assisted from Farabee and Yandle, which was nice. Then during at one point, I think during the third period, my little sister Nicole sent a Snapchat of Brenna and I. And I, like, we had our masks on, of course, because we were following, trying to do our part, wearing our mask in public.
Yeah.
We had our arms crossed, and it's a video of me, and you can kind of see Brenna. And she just zooms in on Brenna and I, and you can see me fold my arms,
lean forward, stewing,
and then just lean right back. I'll text you the video because I stay at the Snapchat. And she's like, My brother and his wife looking pissed as hell right now. And for a moment, I was not a very happy camper, because for a while in that third period, it was still looking like the second period. But then Hart looked better in the third period, stood on his head. And of course, she got the two late goals from Travis Konecny and then ultimately Claude Giroux in the final minutes of play to send it to overtime. And that is one of the loudest times I have heard the Wells Fargo Center. After Giroux scored, we had this guy behind us in the stands who was absolutely obliterated. He fell into us, but like backwards. So he fell like this into our chairs with his arms up looking at us. So we had to help him back up. So that was like kind of funny, like, all right, dude, you okay? I think you maybe should stop drinking. But then just that overtime period, man, on Friday, it was just Hart really kept them in it. And I know at one point there was a shift with Lawton, Farabee, and I forget who the defenseman was on the ice, but they were out there for like a minute and a half, hemmed in the zone for 3-on-3 overtime. And they just played it well defensively, and Hart made some big saves. And then, of course, then you have to go to the dreaded shootout in game one at home. And I'm like, well, this is going to be fun because, you know, Vancouver's got some guys who have some silky mitts. And Pettersson and JT Miller scored in the shootout. And Claude Giroux and Sean Couturier couldn't match that. So they end up losing. But at the end of the day, you know, while the second period was a bit concerning, the first and third periods were better, and I liked what I saw. And this team, at least, if this was this team last year, they would have given up. Like, they would have collapsed. There would have been more goals in the third period, and they would have lost by a lot. But they battled through some resistance, and they came back, and at least they salvaged a point against a team that I still think they're better than. But they kind of got the job done. Every point is important, but if there's a game early this season where you could throw away a point to a Western Conference opponent, that was the one.
Yeah.
So it was just nice. It was nice to see them get on the board, get some points. It was just nice to be back there in general.
Yeah.
And overall, it was still a good time. Like, at the end of the day, you know, you leave the Wells Fargo Center a little dejected because they lost their first game.
Yep.
But in big picture, you know, you're going, I witnessed an NHL hockey game in person with the love of my life and some of my best friends in the arena for the first time in almost 2 years. Something that you never 2 years ago thought, how long is this going to last? Yep. And you did it, and we did it again. So it was really great, and it was a fun time. And I look forward to hearing about your experience at the Seattle game, because, man, I couldn't watch Monday night's game because we had a beer league game, and I'm listening to the game as I'm driving to Revolution Ice Gardens, aka Warwick, for those who are old enough to remember it being called Warwick Ice Rink. And I'm thinking, I'm like, of course, the one night I can't even watch any of the game,
yeah,
they play like this.
It always happens like that.
But you know what? I'm just happy they won. So, Matt, I'll give you the talking stick so you can kind of talk about your experience.
Sounds good. Yeah.
At the Hackstall demolition.
Yeah. I mean, that was a measure of revenge, I guess you can call it, for I mean, everyone knew going into this when the Kraken were first put together over the summer, from the coaching staff to the expansion draft. Once we saw that Hackstall was going to be the head coach, it was like, everyone, I feel like, circled their calendar for when the Kraken were going to come to Philadelphia for the first time. And, I mean, I wasn't really there for the Hackstall thing. It was just kind of like, I guess, if you can call it tradition. Like, I saw the first time the Knights came to Philadelphia in their inaugural season. So I wanted to continue that and see the Kraken come here for the first time in their inaugural season as well. The best thing about the game for them that night was their jerseys, because other than that, they got absolutely spanked.
But they stink. Can I just say that? The Kraken flat out stink.
But also, Chris Driedger does have a pretty cool goalie setup. He's got like the tentacles on his leg pads. But again, yeah, those are the only two pluses for the Kraken that night. Because like I said, other than that, they just got taken to the cleaners. And I mean, that again, like you said about the game on Friday being one of the loudest times you've ever heard the Wells Fargo Center, I think this was the same for me. I mean, the Flyers score five unanswered goals before Colton Soucy gets the Kraken on the board. Carson Soucy, in the second period, and then Joel Farabee scores the touchdown. They didn't get the extra points, and they only got six. But it was 6-1 Flyers. I mean, you had it all. You had scoring from up and down the lineup. You had, for some reason, Nathan Bastian thought it was a good idea to mix it up with Claude Giroux on an opening faceoff at center ice. That didn't go well because he got absolutely fed his lunch by Nate Thompson later in the game.
I didn't see that.
You have an instant Philadelphia favorite in Nick Seeler as well, who fights, I believe, the biggest guy in the NHL. In the Alexiak? Form of Jamie Oleksiak.
I think Char is still bigger than him.
That's true. He might be the heaviest. I'm not sure. But
I could see that.
Again, I tweeted this, but I was at the game, and it was literally like you see him toss the ref aside to fight this guy. And, like, I mean, if that's not an all-time hockey guy move, I don't know what is. Because he literally – I mean, he did get a little bit not pummeled, but it was obviously an uneven matchup because Steelers
he took some punches.
Yeah. But I mean, again, that's literally, I mean, we saw it. I don't know if you saw Jason Kelsey's press conference today about the whole Ben Simmons situation, but it's like,
I did.
Literally, he said exactly what Steeler did, where it was like, if you try and you give it some effort in this city, people are going to love you. And I'll be damned if Nick Seeler did that and held his own for most part of that fight. And he got the people going, as Chaz Michaels would say in Blades of Glory.
He's already engraved with that gift now. It's already been gift, yeah, him, like, yelling at the crowd. But
again, too, later in the game, after the scrum at center ice with Bastian and Giroux that started. So I thought it was pretty cool where I saw the entire Nate Thompson Nick Bastian, sorry. That whole sequence unfold before my eyes, because I literally saw Thompson bumped into Bastian at center ice, and then, like, I saw them both jawing at each other, and I'm in my seat in front of a couple of my friends, and I start yelling. I'm like, yo, he wants him. Like, Thompson wants to fight Bastian, and then they drop the gloves, and it was like, just in like a snap, I just jump up and start going nuts. And like everyone around me is like so hyped. Obviously the whole arena's hype. And you just see, like I said, Thompson's just feeding him. Biz Nasty had a great tweet. He was like, hit him with so many rights, he was begging for a left or something like that. But, I mean, that was just a great fight. And, like, again, you saw it all from the Flyers. You saw scoring. You saw good goaltending from Carter Hart. I mean, who had a
great goaltending.
If you want to call it a bounce-back game from the Vancouver game. But, yeah, I mean, he had 23 saves on 24 shots against, only gave up one goal. And then, I mean, the Derek Brassard, Joel Farabee, and Cam Atkinson line, the Fab line, as it's being deemed, just continues to tear it up. We see more scoring from Ryan Ellis gets his first goal as a Flyer. Hell, Justin Braun got in the mix with a goal. Like, exactly. But it was just like, holy hell, like, it was awesome. Like, that's why you go to Flyers games, for that type of stuff, where you see, like you said, you saw that measure of resiliency from them when they came back in the Vancouver game. Obviously, they fell short in the end, but you saw them. I mean, again, they bounced right back. They knew their opponent was weaker than they are, and they took advantage of it, and they put up a six spot on them. Like, I love it. But, yeah, I mean, it was awesome. And, you saw one of the things that we didn't see at all last year is this team standing up for each other. Because we saw, again, Thompson kind of took Bastion's number after he went after Giroux and got him back for it. Like, and that's what you want to see. Like, you want to see these guys stand up for each other. Because
is the fans, too, on Twitter. Like, the Kraken were, like, tweeted like a 14-year-old, straight up not having a good time right now, 6-1 Flyers. And if you click on that tweet, it's just all Philly fans saying, don't go after our captain. You know,
yeah.
F with our captain and see what happens. F around and find out. Like, welcome to the show. And I was like, love it.
I mean, and like I said, I posted on Facebook for the first time in ages. I checked in at the Wells Fargo Center like the kids do these days, I think. Is that what they do? Dude, check in the places on Facebook? Oh. I rarely do it, but I checked in at the Wells Fargo Center and I captioned it, giving the Kraken a Philadelphia style welcome to the league, and that was definitely it, because the Flyers whooped their ass, and it was a good old fashioned Broad Street ass whooping. It was brought to broad that night, as the Flyers are now saying. I'm actually the worst thing about this Flyers season so far is the goal song, because I can't get behind the goal song, but. If they score like they have been these first few games, we'll come around to it. But, man, I mean, what a night at the barn. As I said, I was hyped the whole train ride home on the subway. I got a free tote bag. They were giving out tote bags, so I got a free tote bag that I'm probably never going to use.
I did get you a shirt from Home Opener.
Oh, my man.
We got to meet up at some point. I also got friend of the pod, Patry Hoagie's one as well.
What a guy.
We got one for Brenna's dad. We got one for Jack. So Jack will have some Flyers right there.
But, yeah, I mean, it was just the first regular season game I've been to since we were at that Boston game in March 2020, right before the shutdown. Again, I was at that preseason game a few weeks ago, but that was nothing compared to that. This tonight, I mean, it was awesome. So, hell of a game at the Wells Fargo Center on Monday night. Obviously, we're both hoping to get to a game with each other at one point this season. And with our respective friends and family, significant others, throughout the season, because hell, we got an 82-game slate this year, so there's more than enough opportunities to get down there.
Oh yes, I already know. Good friend of the pod, Jason Coyle. We've already brought him up, but he is a Colorado Avalanche fan. The Flyers do play the Avalanche on a Monday evening, December 6th. He is trying to get a group together to get a box for that game. So
here we go. But go ahead.
Just saying. That game is way in the future. We do have a game to discuss that happened last evening.
Yes, we move on to that. The Flyers with their first regular season broadcast on TNT last night when they welcomed the Boston Bruins to town. A nice little change of pace with the Flyers wearing their whites at home.
It was different.
What are your thoughts on that?
I am definitely I like the dark jerseys at home better. But I will say, if another team wears their alternates on the road and the home team then wears whites, I like it a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because I really do. Those Bruins alternate jerseys are some of the best alternates in the league. I really like that sweater a lot.
Yep.
But no, it was different. I was like, oh, like, I turned to the team. I'm like, oh, that's a pleasant surprise. Like, it's different. Kind of neat. And I like how they had Gritty match. Like, he had an away jersey on. which I thought was different, because you would think he wouldn't have one of those, but he does.
Oh, he's got it all, man, I think. But, I mean, I think the biggest stories surrounding the game last night, going into things at least, was the play of Martin Jones, who made his Philadelphia debut between the pipes last night for the Flyers. 37 saves on 40 shots, obviously gave up 3 goals. He looked good. I mean, I think the Flyers gave up a good amount of shots, but like
A lot of them were low quality, low chance.
Yeah. And like there was a lot of talk. I mean, I think the Bruins did have the, as they say, the territorial edge in the first period. The Flyers had a little bit of a tough time kind of getting their legs under them. But I'll go into that in a couple minutes here. But also, again, another storyline going into last night was the debut of our boy Risto, Rasmus Ristolainen, suiting up for the first time in the Flyers uniform. A little bit of a couple road speed bumps on one of the Bruins' goals went off for a poorly advised line change. And then on another one, I mean, he's a big guy. It's probably tough for him to find the puck at some points. And also Brad Marchand's a small guy, so he's hard to see.
Was that the Bruins' third goal?
Yeah.
And that was off an ill-advised icing by Sanheim.
Yes. Too. So, but again, I mean, we can go into in another tangent on the whipping boys this year for Flyers Twitter. I mean, Sanheim's been one for a few seasons now. But
I think definitely since last season.
Yeah, I think him and then the new guys, I think Ristolainen and Jones are going to be under a microscope on Flyers Twitter, where one minute thing that they do wrong is just going to be put on blast by the analytics people, the eye test people, Siri's chiming in too.
It's my Apple Watch. I don't know why it keeps on clicking on.
But I mean, again, they're it's their first game. Hell, Jones got the win. Like,
yeah.
So, but Dave, I'll let you go into your analysis here before I give my thoughts.
Yeah, no, just it was overall. I mean, you're up 2-1 after one. You're up 3-2 after two. Or no, you're tied 3-3 after two.
Yes.
The Bruins, in a lot of people's mind, are still cup favorites. And the Flyers are a team that a lot of people are thinking much more negatively on than they were going into last season because of how last season played out. And you know what? The Flyers found a way last night. They came out and they got the job done. We had the Fab line again last night. Cam Atkinson, Joel Farabee, and Derek Brassard doing great things. Atkinson had 2 goals. Farabee had another goal, a couple assists. Keith Yandel was great. Scott Lawton got his first of the year off a great play.
Yeah.
Taylor Hall to get the lone goal for the Bruins. But he had Konechny score again on an absolute snipe to get the Flyers some breathing room late. And then, of course, you have Kutz getting the empty netter goal. The Flyers' power play was 2-for-2. But overall, I mean, Martin Jones last night, I don't think he deserved any negative talk or any negative wrongdoing today. I mean, he made 37 saves, and he looked way better than how he looked in the preseason.
Yeah.
If Martin Jones can play the way he played last night, every time he's in the net, that's going to be a great signing, and no one's going to be talking bad about him.
Yep.
You know, definitely Ristolainen and Sanheim are the Flyers' new whipping boys on defense.
Yeah.
And there's a big sect of the fan base that hates Sanheim and loves Ristolainen, and there's one that's vice versa, the one that hates Ristolainen and loves Sanheim. Is that what I just said?
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
There's one group that loves Risto and hates Sanheim. There's one group that loves Sanheim and hates Risto.
Yeah.
You know, like, Can't you, for a second, they played one game together. This is Risto's first game since, like, the second or third game of the preseason. Like, we're right now depending on them to be the second pairing. So maybe, just maybe, after one game, let's not write them off.
Yeah.
Give them – I know this is a rational thought and a rational idea, and a lot of Flyers Twitter struggles with that, but – for Christ's sake, people, get off your high horse and let things be. Let it if it comes to the point where we're talking next week and things are getting better and we can go, you know what, we've watched a whole week of Risto and Sanheim together and they do not work, big problem, then we'll have something to talk about. But the day after the team comes back, wins 20 minutes to win the game, they beat a good Boston Bruins team,
yeah,
and people are being negative online, like, I feel like then you're just being negative for the sake of just being negative.
Yeah.
And it was kind of fun and enjoyable today. You're looking at, well, Cam Agnesson is performing. There was a certain tweet that was brought up by a person who is very heavy into analytics, criticizing the addition of Atkinson for Voracek for that trade. And that person was kind of getting dragged through the mud today. And I'll admit, I did chime in with that and kind of made fun of them a little bit. But I've got a whole point I want to make about this whole analytics versus eye test thing. You know, while I might be critical of analytics at times, and I don't understand analytics that much, like, I know a little bit, but I'm not going to call myself an I'm very much a novice in analytics. I get what their purpose is, and I see why they're good.
Yes.
My thing is, why can't we live in a world where you have both? Analytics are real, and the eye test is also real. The big problem we have in the hockey community right now is you have the eye test people want to deny analytics and just go, oh, you're all nerds. You're basing everything on computers. You're not actually banking on how the game's played, and you're just wrong. And you've got the analytic community who's going to the hockey guys, you're all dinosaurs. You don't know what you're talking about. I can't believe you're involved in hockey. How are you involved in this sport in a much worse way? This is the future. You need to listen to us. But the thing is they're both sides are right. You can understand analytics and know its place and not act like an entitled prick. And you can also be an eye test guy and realize that analytics have their place, but also go, okay, that person looks good, therefore I think he's good, but also respect analytics and then not be an entitled prick. Both can be true. They can exist in harmony. It's happening in baseball right now as we speak. But I guess maybe because I'm not involved in the baseball social media sphere as much as I am with hockey. And from what I've seen, baseball has accepted analytics much more than hockey has. But at the end of the day, people, like, if it helps improve the game, let's let it improve the game. Because I know there are people who are pro analytics who also enjoy the eye test. And I know there are eye test people who also enjoy analytics. Just stop trying to bring everyone down just because they think differently than you. Like, you can enjoy or accept both. Like, that was kind of like the big debate I was seeing on Twitter today. And I was like, just relax, people. Like, they both have their place and both are equally important. One is the bank to our past and what everything is based on. And this is something new that's going to make the game better.
Yeah. And I think, like, again, each side, it's almost like when you hate someone, like, but you have to be civil with them. Like, that's pretty much what it's like, where it's like, yeah, obviously people, like you said, are entitled to their opinions, where my preference any day of the week is the eye test over analytics. Because, as again, I'm a novice like you are when it comes to that stuff. Because also, I mean, I like to just watch the damn game and say, oh, that person looked bad tonight. Like, that's probably going to be bad on their analytics. Like, perfect example, last night, Nick Obey-Kubel looked terrible all game, like, was invisible. I'm sure his analytics took a hit last night, too.
They were not good.
I don't know that, but from me watching the game and saying, there's Obey-Kubel with another ill-advised turnover or some other thing that he did wrong, then I'm sure the analytics people are saying the same thing, but just in a different, in their jargon, where it's like, oh, his WAR is going down, or his Corsi, or his Fennec, or whatever the hell. I barely even know what that means, but hey, if you want to throw those into the mix, that's cool. But I'm also, don't get mad at me when I say, yeah, he just flat out looked bad. He looked bad. We're basically saying the same thing, like you said, in different forms of wording. But yeah, I mean, I forget where I was going to go with this. Oh, both sides don't have to hate each other. You can disagree, but let's just be civil here. Let's all just have fun. Like, I know that sounds corny, but it's like, the Flyers won last night. Why are we getting angry at each other for them
winning? Exactly.
Like, let's just enjoy something for once. Like, they, again, like I tweeted, they beat the Boston Bruins, who are still considered a cup contender, without
who
Kevin
kicked
Hayes.
Our asses last year.
Yeah, with ours. Yeah, like, I mean, they'll let, like, I'm literally looking at it right now on my desk, the stupid outdoor Lake Tahoe puck that I bought online for actual United States money. That is literally just like, every day I look at this and I'm like reminded about how the Flyers got their teeth kicked in by the Bruins on Lake Tahoe.
And, on national television.
Yeah, and that was literally the beginning of their disastrous collapse last season. So I have, this is like to keep me level, where it's like, if I think the Flyers are going to go on some magical run, this kind of like humbles me a little bit, where
just
it's like,
right,
like
Tahoe puck.
Let's dial it back here. It's only the third game of the season. Like, but yeah, I mean, again, just watch the game. Like, if they win, enjoy the win. If they lose, everyone's going to analyze it in different ways. It's literally the age old saying of everyone is entitled to think what they think. If you don't like it, that's fine. But again, another age-old saying, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say it. Like,
as long as your opinion or thought process isn't offensive or directly hurts someone, then it's fine. But it's all about being respectful. And I definitely think...
Oh, I know where I was
And I know I am guilty of being a keyboard warrior at times. The Philadelphia Flyers themselves have called me out on it before.
Yeah, you got
but
bodied.
Definitely, the keyboard gives people a lot more confidence than they really have in real life.
Yeah, but I mean, again, like another perfect example of eye test versus analytics is Rasmus Ristolainen. We saw it this summer. Literally, once that trade deal was announced, you saw everyone just like scurry to their side, where it was like, he doesn't look bad, but his WAR is like 4%, which is horrible. Like, I think it's horrible, but it's like, dude. He literally just got traded to the team 5 minutes ago.
After 8 years in Buffalo.
After 8 years on a dumpster fire team of the Buffalo Sabres, had COVID and was affected by that physically and I'm sure mentally as well, like all these guys were to some degree when they had to play in front of no fans and in a fucking bubble, excuse my language. But it's like,
we get one per episode. It's
yeah,
fine. I'll throw the explicit logo on this pod.
I had to put the emphasis on that. Sorry.
A good emphasized F-bomb gets the point across.
All right. Thank you. But that's like you said, that'll be my R1 for tonight. But it's like, let the guy play a damn game before you say anything. Like, you can, like we said before, you can analyze this team on paper until the cows come home. But until they step on the ice and they do something, it's all speculation. You can do any formula. You can do any formula, any prediction. Hell, you can do an EA Sports simulation for all I care. That's not going to work because EA sucks. I haven't bought NHL 22. I'm probably not going to buy it because I hate EA. That's for a different day. But, like, just let them play hockey. So far, they've played really good hockey. And, yes, Ristolainen made two mistakes last night. But would you rather
him
do that?
He also made some good plays.
Yeah. He also bodied the hell out of Charlie Coyle
and drew a penalty. The Flyers scored on that power play.
Drew a penalty. Yeah. It's like, but again, would you rather have those two mistakes happen in his first game, which is the third game of the season, or, and they're already out of the way, hopefully, he gets better, obviously, but it's like, or they don't happen at all. You think, wow, Rasmus Ristolainen is the second coming of Jesus Christ for the Flyers. And then it happens one game in the playoffs and everybody panics. Like, oh my God, this guy's horrible. Like, why did we think he was so good? It's like, all right, it's the third game of the season. It's going to take maybe 10 games for just to see kind of like where this team is actually at. Because as we'll say here in the next couple of minutes, I think the Flyers have an even tougher test than the Bruins coming up on Saturday against the Florida Panthers. So I think, yes, the Bruins were a good test last night, but again, I think the Panthers are going to be even more of a test than the Bruins were. So I think everyone just needs to take a step back.
Yeah, like I'm seeing...
Everyone on here hopefully knows my Twitter at. It is at @m_mastro36. You can tweet me if you have a problem, and if you want to overreact to something, come into my mentions, and I will put you in your place.
Or even have a productive discussion. Everyone knows Maya, you know, at this is Dave M, and then
yeah,
with the pods handle.
Sorry, I'm getting aggressive because everyone else is aggressive here.
Yeah, no.
I'm not gonna say
I'll you know.
I'll resend my statement of putting them in their place. I'll just say, yes, let's have a discussion, like human beings, and at least be civil with each other. So yeah. Like I said, I think we're all a little bit excited here that the Flyers have played as well as they have through these first three games.
Yeah, and I feel like I very rarely have to block or mute people from the podcast page, but we had this one guy who, friend of the podcast, Matt Hoagland, Podstreet Hoagie, who was on our last podcast, we'll know who I'm talking about right away. The dude just is always so negative, and he retweeted one of our tweets to link to our latest podcast and pretty much like tried to insult us. And I don't know if you got a chance to see the tweet, Master, but I was pretty on top of it. I saw it, and I'm like, I had followed this guy on my personal account, and once he did this, I was like, all right, now he's coming after my pod. I'm done with you. You're going to just buy, blocked, whatever. Ain't nobody got time for that. But my big
talk about that off air.
I don't remember
what
he tweeted. But just like the Flyers are winning. They're winning right now. They're playing fun hockey. Hell, they've scored what? How many? They've scored what?
They've scored at least four goals in every game so far.
They are 2-0-1, and they've scored 16 goals in three games. Like,
we were hard pressed if they scored that in 16 games last year.
Why are we at each other's throats right now? And I feel like that's kind of how Flyers Twitter is. Like, everyone, calm down. The team is winning. At the end of the day, that's all we want.
Yeah, like, I think we know how volatile Flyers Twitter is. And I think the more that we fuel the fire, I think it's not going to help at all. But I think we should move on from here before we give these people any more credit that they don't deserve. But as I said just a minute ago, the Flyers do continue. Well, they end their initial homestand on Saturday night against the Florida Panthers at the Wells Fargo Center. And then they head to Western Canada for a three-game road trip. Against the Edmonton Oilers next Wednesday at 10 o'clock. These are all 10 o'clock games, which I hopefully probably won't be able to watch, which sucks. So they have Edmonton on the 27th at 10 o'clock, at Vancouver at 10 o'clock on the 28th of this month, and then Saturday the 30th, right before Halloween. Hopefully they will give us a treat instead of a trick.
That would be nice.
With the Calgary Flames at the Saddle Dome at 10 o'clock on Saturday night. And then from there, they come back home for one game against the Arizona Coyotes. And then we roll from there. We'll obviously be recording next week as well for the Florida game and maybe previewing the Western Canada road trip. But like I said, like we've said, we're going to take a step back here. We'll switch gears quick to just give our thoughts on the new additions to the team. We already pretty much covered Rasmus Ristolainen and Martin Jones. They've done their part so far with a couple of hiccups in between. But Dave, your thoughts on the likes of Ryan Ellis? I guess he's not really a newcomer. I was gonna say Nate Thompson. We know he's a team guy. Nate Thompson, team guy, great guy. We love him. He's had some hiccups as well in the past, but we forgive him for that so far. But we have Ryan Ellis, Derek Brassard, Keith Yandel, Sonk Nation is back in a big way, in a good way, because usually a Sonk is a bad thing. But it's a bad thing for the opposing players. It's not bad when he says it because he fakes them out. So Sonk Nation is back in Philadelphia, Sonkadelphia as I'm calling it. And then we have those three guys, and then we have Cam Atkinson, who I almost forgot. I think that's it.
Then Travis McEwen, or no.
Zach McEwen.
Zach McEwen.
I didn't see – we didn't see much of him last night. Yeah. We gave our thoughts on him. I think we have to see – we have to get more of a sample size from him. So, but those four guys, we have Ellis, Brassard, Yandel, and Atkinson. I'll give my two cents very quickly here.
Yeah, because we're already at like 44 minutes, and I remember when we joked before we recorded, oh, this should be a quick podcast tonight.
Yes.
And here we are, 44 in, and we haven't even taken that break.
my quick analysis here and my in my expert opinion that I've watched with the eye test. No offense to the analytics crew out there.
Do we want to do this thumbs up or thumbs down? We can just do that really quick.
On my video feed, I am giving a thumbs up. If I had more than two thumbs, I would give more than two thumbs because they've all been very good so far. So my analysis is multiple thumbs up. Dave, your analysis.
I, too, will give two thumbs way, way up.
Sounds good.
Derek Brassard being the most pleasant surprise out of all of them. Like, I knew Keith Yandle was still good and still had – and he had more of the tank than he showed last year, and I knew social media wasn't being exactly fair to him. Like, I kind of saw Yandle almost play like this because he's going to be playing with a bunch of buddies.
Yeah.
And if him being deployed properly, he will succeed, and that's happening. But Derek Brassard, he's got 5 points in three games. He is essentially – he has replaced Nolan Patrick on the roster wearing number 19, and he already has more than half of the points in three games than Nolan Patrick had in, like, 40 games last year.
Yep. We'd love to see it.
Yeah. It's like, wow. Multiple thumbs up. Cam Atkinson has been – I love watching a right winger come in the zone and his first thought is to shoot the puck.
Yep.
But two thumbs up. That's all I have.
Sounds good. I'll summarize our coverage for the Flyers tonight. Humble ourselves.
Yes.
We're optimistic. We like winning.
Winning is fun.
Let's all just be friends.
Why can't we be
friends? Exactly. Put that in the episode. There might be copyright issues with that, so don't put that in the episode.
That could be the episode title.
Maybe. We'll figure that out.
Maybe
but
not.
Moving on, we will take our ad break, and then we will do our weekly Around the League segment, and I will give everyone the news for this time around.
Yes, and with that, we will be right back here at 5-Man Major Radio. And we are back here at 5-Man Major Radio. Master, let's say we go around the league rapid style.
Sounds good. It's always a pleasure to do that.
I know you are hungry and waiting to make yourself dinner. That's very important. Yeah. Man's got to eat.
I also don't feel like cooking, but anyway. No one ever told me when you're an adult, you got to figure out what to make for dinner every single day.
I know.
It's the worst.
Every morning, it's like, what do you want for dinner tonight?
Being responsible is hard. But anyway, we have
#adult.
Yes. Sadly for these players, we have the injury bug has come around for them early in the season. First up, we have Jack Hughes, who was placed on the IR, the injury reserve, by the New Jersey Devils earlier today with a dislocated left shoulder and is to be reevaluated in 1 week. The 20-year-old center had an MRI that revealed no further damage. He will also not require surgery and has begun physical therapy. Devils head coach Lindy Ruff was quoted saying, "Probably the best case. It's bad, but it probably could have been worse. We had a real good conversation yesterday, him and Jack. We talked about the injury, talked about the amount of time it might take to recover. We talked about the fact that he's young and will heal quick, getting back and just being ready to take off where he finished off here. We're obviously very disappointed and down on being hurt, but I just tried to pick him up a little bit. The Devils are 2-0, and Hughes also scored that nifty overtime winner against the Blackhawks the other night and did the NHL version of a bat flip where he tossed his stick into the crowd, which I thought was cool. But I mean, they're going to miss him for, I'm assuming, at least the next couple weeks here, or at least the next week.
Is he on IR or LTIR?
He is on IR.
Okay. Cause
he doesn't need surgery and he's doing physical therapy. So their hope and my non-medical expert opinion is that he'll be back in the next week or so.
Yeah, because the difference is with LTIR, you get salary cap relief, and a player has to miss a minimum of 10 games.
Yes. As is Kevin Hayes' situation.
Yes, which is, I think, good, because he is now skating and rehabbing with the team, but when he comes back, he'll be ready, which I'm all for. But Jack Hughes, it's tough news for the Devils. You know, he's probably there. He is their franchise center up and coming. I definitely think he's going to be a better player than Nico Hischier. But, you know, from a Flyers fan, well, too bad, so sad. Like, sorry, Devils fans. I still think your team is hot garbage, even though you might be on the rise. And losing Jack Hughes sucks, but The Flyers are still better than you.
Well said. Moving on from New Jersey down to Tampa Bay, Florida. The Tampa Bay Lightning did repeat as back-to-back Stanley Cup champions, if you were not aware. But sadly for them, Nikita Kucherov also has repeated. Is that? Yeah, that's a word. Repeated his out indefinitely status for injury because it was announced on Tuesday that he will be out indefinitely because of the good old LBI, a lower body injury, but is expected to return this season. Lightning coach John Cooper was quoted saying, "I don't expect him to miss what? He missed 56 games last season. That's not happening this time. But he's a huge part of our team and the fabric of our team. So when he's around, it's just good for everybody here. Good for him, good for us. Anytime he's giving guys pointers, people listen. I assume that'll happen." Kucherov did not play the final 9 minutes and 8 seconds of a 2-1 overtime win against the Washington Capitals on Saturday, last Saturday, and missed a 4-1 loss to the Florida Panthers on Tuesday. The forward scored 4 points in 3 games he's played this season, but again, he is out indefinitely, and there's really no timetable other than that at this point. And again, like I said before, he missed the entire last regular season. And then the Lightning were controversially playing chess, not checkers, with the salary cap, and brought Kucherov back for the postseason. Obviously, again, like I just said, the Lightning did repeat as Stanley Cup champions, but Kucherov, again, I'm sure was excited, like other Lightning fans were, to come back for hopefully the full season, but again, it does look like he is going to miss some time here, so you hate to see it, as I would say, in the opposite. But Dave, your thoughts on Cooch being sidelined?
It's tough news for the Lightning. You can definitely see, based on the games I've watched from them so far this season, they're not as good, they're not as deep as they were in years past. But that's what happens when you win back-to-back Stanley Cups. You have players who outgrow your team and you can no longer afford. So you lose a lot of key depth players who have gotten elevated roles on other teams. So this Kucherov injury actually is a big loss for them. Especially considering the fact that their captain, Steven Stamkos, has been a walking hospital bracelet the past couple of years. if he gets hurt, that's really detrimental. I mean, luckily, you've still got Vasilevskiy. You still got your all-world defense with Hedman and McDonough. You still got Braden Point, which is huge. But it's definitely an injury that stings. A lot of hockey Twitter is kind of like, oh, what are they going to do now? Are they going to go on LTIR and sit him out again and go pick up a big person and be a trade and then be above the cap for playoffs again? Suck it. It's part of the rules. They're allowed to do it. But no, it stinks for Kucherov. I mean, the game is better when he is healthy and playing in it. And this also stinks for the Russian Olympic Athlete Federation, whatever they're calling themselves this year, because he's probably going to miss the Olympics. So this is definitely a hurt for the sport.
Definitely. Well said. And then I'm not sure, I'm looking for an update for this right now, but I'll just read the latest as of 1 a.m. this morning with Mark Stone. He was considered either, he's between day to day and week to week. That's an interesting way to put it. So he's either short term or long term.
Is he bi-weekly?
Maybe. But he has a lower body injury. Vegas Golden Knights head coach Peter DeBoer said on Tuesday. He said, quote, "I would say day to day, but it's probably in between day to day and week to week. Good news for the most part." Stone was injured during a 6-2 loss to the LA Kings on October 14th. He had 3 assists in 2 games this season after leading the Golden Knights in assists and points in the regular season last year. Max Pacioretty has also been banged up so far. He's confirmed week to week with a lower body injury, sustained blocking a shot in that same game against the Kings. So a tough start out of the gate here for Pacioretty and Stone. Stone, I think, he might have been a game time decision tonight. That's why I'm on Twitter right now trying to look for it, but I'm not finding anything, which is bad radio. But I'll chime in here if I find something. But switching gears here to actually some more breaking news while I'm on my Twitter feed. Emily Kaplan is reporting. She reported earlier on ESPN's The Point, which is actually a really good show. But the focus has shifted for Jack Eichel this week. Her tweet saying the trade market went quiet, so Eichel's camp is, quote, bombarding Sabres management with medical opinions they have collected in one last attempt to convince Buffalo to let Eichel get his preferred surgery. So we could see some Jack Eichel action this week in the coming days, I guess, because this work week is just about over with tomorrow being Friday. But Dave, your thoughts on the ever-evolving Jack Eichel situation here and anything that you may have heard as well?
I haven't heard anything new, but anytime I see a Buffalo Sabres official tweet coming from their Twitter profile, I automatically probably hashtag free Eichel, just because, to be annoying, to kind of troll them a little bit. But I will always be in this manner. I will be pro player. I think the players need to negotiate some more protection for themselves in the next CBA or collective bargaining agreement. Because at the end of the day, the player needs to decide what surgery to get, because that is his body or her body for women's hockey players, to how they live their life. Because the surgery, like we discussed this in ad nauseum when we first touched on the whole Eichel debate, the surgery the Sabres want Eichel to get would leave Eichel in pain for the rest of his life, needing multiple surgeries, where Eichel thinks he can get this one done and be good for the rest of his life. Yes. So they need to get this done. The longer this drags out, it's a worse look for the Buffalo Sabres. It's a worse look for the league. Eichel is premier. He is one of the premier American players in the NHL, and you need him playing. And especially if maybe he can get healthy enough to be in the Olympics, that'd be huge for USA Hockey.
Yep.
But yeah, that's good. I'm always going to be Team Eichel on this. Buffalo needs to get their shit together and get this done and get him moved. Because the players don't want to be there anymore. He wants to get healthy. He wants to get back to playing. Let's do that. And also, dear Buffalo, I know you are 3-0 on the season, and I see the cockiness from your fans online. Stop it. Your team is not that good, and you are going to fall apart any day now.
Till we tell it like it is on here.
You just gotta be honest. You gotta break it to them. And so they need. I'm sorry, Buffalo. You've had some really crappy years, but it's not getting better anytime soon. I'm sorry. You have a lot to do.
At least they've got Bill's Mafia.
They got Bill's Mafia, which, you know, who knows how long that's going to last with the Bills. And then they drafted Owen Power first overall, who's a college player. And if Buffalo doesn't get better, wouldn't be surprised if Owen Power says, you know what, not signing there. I'm going to stay in school until I'm a college free agent and then pick where I can sign. Would not put it past him at all, and would not blame him either.
Well said, well said. But we will actually switch gears here for our last topic of the night. We will go down a rung on the ladder, down to the jungle.
Always Hungry League?
The Always Hungry League, the AHL, where we had some history happen last week, but we are just touching on
it. One might say a glass ceiling was broken.
Exactly. But on Saturday the 16th, the AHL had a milestone, or a barrier was broken. There we go. When Katie Guay, I believe is how you pronounce her last name. Katie, if we're pronouncing your name wrong, I apologize. But she became the first woman to officiate an American Hockey League game when she took to the ice and dropped the puck between the Wilkes-Barre Scranton Penguins and the Flyers' own Lehigh Valley Phantoms.
Heard of them?
Both good teams. I was and with
not the Penguins.
I was with the Penguins for a stint. Sorry, Flyers fans. Gotta do what I gotta do for a job. But anyway,
that's true.
Katie is 39 years old from Westfield, Massachusetts. She played 4 years with Brown University before becoming a referee in 2006. In her women's hockey playing days, or actually her officiating days, she has officiated the Frozen Four and also the 2018 Pyeongchang Olympics. In men's hockey, she has called games in the NCAA Division I, the SPHL, which is the Southern Professional Hockey League, and also at an NHL Prospects tournament. I also believe she was one of the officials in the women's 3-on-3 tournament in the All-Star game 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Mm.
I heard that on Missing Curfew. So that was also good. But again, she has broken that barrier, as well as 9 other women. The AHL has 10 women officiating, 7 referees, and 3 lines. Lines women? They have lines men in this article, but shout out to the ladies. Lines women, we're going to call it. This season, Kelly Cook, I believe, already did this. She was scheduled to work the Rochester-Utica game on Sunday, which I'm assuming was the 17th, so that already happened. Kelly, congrats to you as well. And then also, hopefully, I think it's about time we see a woman referee in the NHL. We've seen women referees in the NFL.
And the NBA, right?
I think so. I'm not very well versed in the NBA here.
Women's coaches too in the NBA and the NFL.
True. But it's about women. It's about time women had their time in professional sports. And you love to see it, as I say. So Katie, Kelly, and to all the women that will break the barrier this year in the AHL, congratulations, and we are happy to have you in the hockey world.
Yeah, this is huge. Women definitely have their place in hockey, and not to brag or anything, but Dump and Change, our good old beer league squad, has had multiple women play on our beer league team and compete and actually give it to some guys before. So that's kind of great to see, and it's awesome that women are getting their chance to be in the men's level, because men and women, you know, there are women who are better than some guys at ice hockey. And for some men who don't want to hear that because they're weak men and fragile men, well, guess what? You're wrong. These girls are better than you. I'll admit, they're better than me. I am a C-League beer league player. So I am all for it. It's about damn time. Hockey, yet again, kind of behind the page on this, but they're slowly catching up. And it's only a matter of time till we see more women coaches behind the benches on teams. And before we see them officiating, whether it's watching the lines or calling penalties. Yeah. You know, there are some women who are excellent skaters, and to be a referee, all you really need to do is know how to skate and know the rules. That should be open to anyone. So I am all for it. And, I'm very proud of my sport. You know, the sport that we cover definitely has had more darker news stories than lighter ones
Yes. The
past couple of years. And this is definitely a feel-good moment, and rightfully so.
Yep.
And there's some other news to segue kind of this, Master. I don't know if we're going to touch on this briefly, but the Professional Federal Hockey Association, or I'm butchering the new name of what used to be the NWHL. But that league now is getting, I believe it's the Professional Hockey Federation, I believe. Oh, this is bad radio here. Master, if you want to help me out, though. But they have partnered with ESPN to have all of their games streamed on ESPN Plus, which is huge, because now you have a professional women's hockey league getting their games on a national level on the biggest sports, you know, broadcast network. So
yes, so I actually have the article. I have the article right here. You were sort of right. The Premier Hockey Federation.
I knew it was something with Hockey Federation.
This is from ESPN.
Couldn't get the first P word correct.
from ESPN and Greg Wisniewski. The Premier Hockey Federation will make ESPN Plus its exclusive U.S. broadcasting partner for the 2021-22 season, making the network home to all 60 regular season games, the Isobel Cup playoffs, and other special events. It marks the first time the PHF. What?
I think it's the Isobel Cup.
Isobel Cup? Oh, sorry. Isobel. I don't know why I said Isobel.
It's spelled like Isobel.
Been a long day. Anyway.
Man's
Isobel, Isobel, potato, potato, you know what I'm saying. But this marks the first time the PHF, which rebranded from the National Women's Hockey League this year, the NWHL, will have all its games hosted on the same platform. The PHF commissioner, Tyler Tuminia, I believe, was quoted saying, "This is historic for us." Noting that negotiations had been ongoing for approximately 5 months. ESPN is becoming the home of hockey, right? Well, we wanted to be a part of that. International broadcasting details will be forthcoming, but the PHF bills itself as the, quote, leading home of professional women's hockey in North America, and consists of 6 franchises: the Boston Pride, the Buffalo Buttes, the Connecticut Whale, the Metropolitan Riveters, the Minnesota Whitecaps, and the Toronto Six. The PHF 60 regular season games will be played over 19 weekends with all six teams competing 20 times. So if you're not familiar with ESPN Plus, it is ESPN's streaming service like everyone else has. I am thinking about downloading it as part of my Disney Plus bundle because you can watch all the out-of-market hot NHL games. You can watch the the PHF games. There's no shortage of hockey. No free ads for ESPN, though. But download it if you want, but no free ads again. So, yeah. A lot of love for the women happening in hockey right now, which you love to see.
You love to see it. It's like I said, it's about time.
Yep.
You know, it makes me proud to say that I am a hockey player and I am, you know, a hockey podcaster, that my game, my sport is finally doing this.
Yes.
So
the PHF season begins on November 6th. So mark your calendars. I guess I'm going to figure out what team to root for. I like the Buffalo. These are some good names. I like these. Toronto 6, a little weak, but I'll allow it.
It's because it's the Six. I know the Metropolitan Riveters, I believe, are based in New York or New Jersey, I think.
Gotcha.
So obviously they're the Boston closest team.
Buffalo, Connecticut, Minnesota.
There was some rumblings of trying to get a team based in Philadelphia, which would be cool.
That would be nice.
But
hey, like you said, we love to see it. And Dave, with that, I think that just about does it for this week. I will let you wrap things up for us before we say goodbye.
Yes, definitely. Possibly look for another episode from us next week, either on Tuesday or Thursday, being that we have a beer league game Wednesday night. That's why this week's episode was a day later on Thursday. It's because Duff and Change had a game on. Yeah, no, we had a game Tuesday. We wanted to watch the Flyers last night so we could talk about the Flyers in the podcast tonight. So, again, a combination of the Flyers and Beer League messing with the podcast schedule. But next week, it's strictly the Beer League messing with the Flyers schedule.
Yep.
So look for us on Tuesday or Thursday. I would probably say Thursday, because then we can address multiple games. But with that, as always, Mastro, I will let you go make your dinner, good sir, because – did you eat yet? No. You got to fix that.
Hell yeah.
But with that, thank you everyone for your listening. As always, make sure you subscribe and follow and listen and give reviews to not only us, but to our good friends over at Pod Street Boys, those fine, fine, fine gentlemen over there.
Yes, sir.
Derek, John, Hoagie, Matt Casey, all excellent dudes, great guys. So make sure you do that. That's our listeners' homework. Get on that train. But with that, everyone, let's go Flyers. Good night and good hockey.